Hello, listeners. Hello, viewers. Welcome to another edition of the Talking Para podcast. We're back. Had a week off due to the Parramatta bye, but we're back this week. Parramatta take on the Eels and the Warriors. Parramatta take on the Eels? No, it's the Eels and Warriors at CommBank Stadium on Saturday. But we've got in the house, we've got Hayden from the Entertain House. We've got Joel from League of Inches. We've got myself, Troy from the Paracave podcast. We're missing a man tonight. We've got M. Tatey, Matthew Tate down tonight. But we do have our illustrious host, Adam Martin, who apparently hates bye weeks. I'm sure he'll get into that. And how are you going, Adam?
I am wonderful. It looks like you've been had to spend your week in Bali the way you introduced us. So bye weeks. Hey, yeah. I'll get you to put yours on mute because we're getting some background noise from you and we'll come across to you when you
put me on mute.
Put you on mute. Joel, do you know how to do that? You're in charge of that.
He's on mute.
Wonderful. There's a bit of TV noise going on. But he'll come in and talk when he wants to. As you said, obviously the bye week, obviously good to get another 2 points. It was a pretty tough game, so I've heard. Some blowouts that weekend, but we managed to come away with a win against the bye. Look, it's always hard when we do this show after having the week off because we've got to think back so far to the last time we played.
That's why we should have had a show last week.
You know, you keep saying that, but sometimes it's good to have a week off, like, you know, just to freshen ourselves up, ready for the charge home to the finals. But look, let's go back to that game. I'll give you the rundown first. So for those who don't remember, obviously it was that game at the Sunshine Coast Stadium, 48-20. Troy and Hayden were both there. We did that excellent live show.
Sold out crowd of 8,000. 8,000 in attendance.
8,816, I think it was.
I thought it actually held 10,000. So obviously some people haven't turned up. You could actually see some spots in the grandstand. So, but I said 48-20. Look, obviously, looking back at that game, the halftime score of 42-4, wasn't it? So I think my prediction for that week was 42-6 or something, or 46-4 I had. So
you were calling the game off at half time.
Almost had it at half time. Wish they stopped it. Look, obviously a pretty disappointing second half. We'll get into that. I'll go to you first, Troy. You're obviously there at the game. Your thoughts on that game and how it played out?
Yeah, look, obviously Mitchell and Junior had a point to prove after losing Origin 2, so they were keen to get back into the winner's circle. It was the first time that the Eels and Dolphins had played in this competition, so it was great to see a lot of blue and gold in the crowd. Actually, there was a fair sprinkle of blue and gold, so a lot of support up there. One of the pleasing things I thought for us was the fact that whenever we made a break, there was 2, 3, 4 people inside and outside the ball carrier in support of the ball carrier, and obviously a try was scored, so it was great to get those points on very fast. Great to see Joel's mate Andrew Davey get the first try. He must have been happy about that one. But my highlight of the game was that Will Penasini push off Ewan Aitken, and then he ran into the corner and scored the try. But a lot of people say it's disappointing that the Dolphins scored so many points in the second half and we didn't. But that's, you know, the Dolphins coming out in the second half and just trying to represent and obviously create something, and obviously a rev up from Wayne Bennett at halftime as well. So they were a different side in the second half. So obviously disappointing that we didn't go on with it, but a fair score anyway. So, yeah, it was a good day and a good night, and really enjoyed the trip.
Yeah, we'll touch on that a bit later about that second half, but just that Will Penasini one. I think he did more in that one run than Bradman Best has done all year, but we'll talk about Origin a bit later on. Hayden, obviously at the game as well, enjoying Troy's company there in the game.
Yeah, I was in the grandstand. Hayden was over on the hill.
Yeah, probably a good choice for Hayden. Hayden, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, obviously we did concede 20 points in the second half, but I think, you know, how often do teams do that where they struggle to go on with it with those big scores and the other team starts to come back when you think it's going to be that 40-plus margin victory? I thought our defence was really, really solid. I think as the year's gone on, our defence has just been getting better and better. And sometimes when we're missing, you know, recently it's been Sean Lane, when we're missing some pretty important players, I think we've really stood up. So, yeah, I think it was a good victory. And I think a lot of people are reading too much into the fact that the Dolphins were able to score 20 points. They probably could have scored more points because they had a lot of attacking opportunities, but the defense was there. I agree with Troy. I think the big part of the game is, you know, you had Will, Gutho, different players in support. You didn't know who was going to score the try, but a try was going to be scored because you had a lot of combinations really, really gelling. And as you mentioned it, not my player of the match, but big honourable mention to Andrew Davey. He scored the first Eels try of the game, and I thought he had a really big game as well. I'd be interesting to see his stats, because if his stats was like 30 metres, it would be crazy.
Okay, let's see if I can pull him up.
I've always got the stats ready to go. He ran for 93
metres
off 9 runs.
Right.
It's all right. It's better.
And 30 of those was that holy run. So,
yeah, it was last minute decision to get down to the game. It was a bit of travel, a bit expensive to go there, but all in all, it was up to the game, sorry.
Well, you were on a expedition, mate, because you did Origin Wednesday.
I was. Between me and Emily, we actually said that if the ticket didn't work, because we bought an external ticket, we said if the ticket didn't work, that we'll go to Australia Zoo because it was just up the road. So there was a little part of me like, oh, if this doesn't work, I've never been to the Australia Zoo. But then when the ticket worked, so I was like, oh, there we go.
It's actually a pretty good zoo. Maybe you should have went there in the morning and then just gone the game in the afternoon.
You'd be absolutely buggered. It was too much getting there, mate. It was about 3 hours travel from Brisbane by the time you get two Ubers and a train to Lansborough. But I thought the stadium atmosphere was good.
Why'd you take two Ubers, not just one? Did they kick you out halfway or something?
It was an Uber to one station near Brisbane and then an Uber from Lansborough. I was going to say the atmosphere was good as well. I think, you know, we did it last year at those away games, especially in Penrith. We've seen this, you know, Parramatta chant, a lot of Parramatta fans there. We spoke about it as well, how we thought Parramatta, you know, we're a little bit hard done by because this is kind of the only opportunity that the Brisbane fans get for a Parramatta game, you know, closer to Suncorp besides the Gabba game. But, yeah, it was a good atmosphere the other week.
Wonderful. Key comments coming in as well, guys. We'll get to the comments at the end unless they're obviously relevant to what we're talking about. Joel, shut that dog up. Is that yours? It's all happening tonight.
That's definitely not mine. The dog, he's quiet and I was on mute. So, Joel.
It's probably that new one we've got. Sorry,
Bruce. All right, Joel, go to you next. Your thoughts.
Look, I did it last night, but on just a quick personal note, just shout out to the old man who's doing a bit tough at the moment, but he's fighting through it. So he's a massive para tragic. So
g'day, Dave. Well,
old man. So I know he's watching and definitely probably keeping his spirits high this video. thank you for watching as well, Dad. Look, I can't say any more than what the boys have said about the game. I'll just echo once again, it was just really disappointing that wasn't at Suncorp because I think it would have been at least 40,000 or so there and it would have been a massive atmosphere. We know how many Para fans are up here on the Gold Coast in Brisbane and Sunshine Coast. So to have it at such a small ground, I thought if the NRL needs to get a bit serious with that sort of thing and make sure that doesn't happen again because you're just basically selling joints out where a lot of fans are getting locked out.
It's just stupidity and not doing research, though. I'm looking at some of the games they've got ahead and the Dolphins play the Warriors at Suncorp coming up, for example. That game could have been further up or at Redcliffe or whatever. I know they want to play a certain amount of games at these stadiums, but they should have known. It's kind of on the Dolphins as well. They would have nominated their games, the NRL Christmas. They should have known the history of Parramatta games in Brisbane and tickets to Magic Round. And look at the Gold Coast. Every time Parramatta play on the Gold Coast, there's more Parramatta fans there than Titans fans. And no one can deny that. Troy, looking back at that 2017 game we went to, 40,000 people, probably the one that stands out the most on a Thursday night. Both teams obviously high up the ladder and Parramatta getting an early jump. But half the crowd Parramatta fans, you could see that by when all the Brisbane fans left the end. But they didn't do their research. They got it wrong and they cost themselves an extra probably 32,000 people. But they probably also hope the Dolphins fans, they would have had 8,000, Dolphins fans there when, to me on TV, it looked, I wouldn't say evenly split due to members, but it looked like 2/3 were probably Dolphins, a third were probably Parramatta. You guys were there, you probably agree with that. So I just need to get that better. And it's I was at the Knights Bulldogs game on Sunday at Accor Stadium for some strange reason.
Why?
Supporting your mate.
Oh, yeah, supporting him, mate, yeah. And I was training at the Centre of Excellence next door, so I was already there. But that game could have been at Belmore. I would have loved to go to Belmore on Sunday and watch the Knights versus the Bulldogs. It would have been exciting. There was probably 7,000. They said there was 11,000, but they would have had 15,000 at Belmore. It would have been a good experience, but anyway.
You didn't get good, though, because I know you would have wanted the Knights to lose, and unfortunately they didn't do that for you.
I was supporting the referees that day, so I really couldn't
lose. Look, I think it'll be a lesson learnt from both the NRL and the Dolphins as well about what games they take to certain stadiums. So they've got certain deals in how many games they play at Redcliffe, how many at Sunshine Coast, and how many at Suncorp. So,
yeah, for sure. Joel, continue. Sorry, we just segued a bit there.
Yeah, no, that's right. And the only other thing I was going to add, we scored 48 points, and to think Sivo wouldn't have scored one try, and that is pretty unbelievable. So it was good to actually see the score sheet a bit different. Normally, in those sorts of games, you probably have Sivo for three or four. So it was just good to see a sort of an evenly shared split showing that the boys are all keen. And look, the second half did leave a little bit of a sour taste in the mouth, but to be fair, we came away with no injuries. So that was a good thing, and if it means we still win like that and get no injuries, I'll take that every day of the week.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was going to touch on. Like, you know, it's obviously disappointing that second half. Obviously, we lost the second half 16 points to 6 when you look at it that way, but it is hard. Like, I've been in that situation before playing footy where I've been ahead by a lot and stuff, and it's really hard going in that second half because, as you said, injuries are a big thing. You know the game's won. You don't want to risk getting injuries. Yeah, I'm going to sound like Brad Arthur here. Mute Joel. But I'm going to sound like Brad Arthur here, but you start to look, you don't look for the collision as much when you're ahead in that game. You don't want the hard hits. You don't want to put in the extra efforts. And all the freaky stuff that works for you when you go on a roll, you don't want to do, like you start to try and do instead of doing the hard stuff. All we need to do there was to get back to what worked in the first half, which for the early first 20 minutes was those hard runs and then open the game up a bit. If we would have done that in the second half, we probably would have found ourselves scoring another three or four tries. They probably bombed, a couple early on in that start of that second half as well. Moving on the game, look, we'll go, obviously, players of the match. It's a hard one to think back on for this one. Once again, I thought Bailey was excellent. That try he scored. Will was obviously excellent with his try, but look, I can't go past Gutho. Look, Gutho was superb, and he, like, as I come out today, probably said he's been one of the form players in the last 4 weeks of the competition, or 5 weeks, whatever you want to look at like that. As soon as he played that game, I said, unfortunately, Gutho is going to get picked in Origin, which we'll get to soon. And we'll talk, have a bit of an Origin talk about the Para players, but thought he was excellent. This, you know, all that effort, and he's starting a bit of spark back in his game as well, and starting to know when to chime in a bit. Hayden, I'll go to you first. Your player of the match?
Yeah, I actually agree with you, Adam. I was thinking you boys might go with the centres, but yeah, I agree with you, Gutho. Honourable mention for me, Will Penasini, massive game from him, but one of Gutho's best games all year, and he's actually now, I believe, the second in try scorers for the year. He's only one try behind Sivo, and he's the second top try scorer in the entire NRL.
Yeah, I think he's Dom Young and Sivo first, and he's second. So technically he's third, but one try behind. Troy?
Well, you guys took Gutho. Look, Mitchell, we wouldn't expect anything less from him. It was good to see Junior come off the bench and create a role, do a role. Jermaine Hopgood, I think, for me, just never stopped trying all day and scored a try as well, which was really good. So, yeah, Jermaine Hopgood for me.
Yep. And Joel?
Yeah, I'll agree with Gutho, but I think Will Penasini was right on his tail there and almost biting his backside, so to speak. So his game was phenomenal. That try he scored, there's not many centres in the game at the moment that could have scored that. That was phenomenal.
Bradman Best could have.
Yeah, apparently.
We'll segue that now. I want to give a shout out to Hopgood first of all. I thought he was excellent that game, and obviously got the call up to 19th man for Origin. It shows you how well Queensland are going if they can have someone in the form he's in to be their 19th man. Obviously, it'd be a great experience for him to be around that team. You think he'd probably be in the actual team next year. He's going to continue to grow as a player. And the good news is for us, he gets to play this week.
Can I just say, I was actually speaking to his aunt after the game. And I was saying what I've been saying in that whole joke of, you know, he's robbed of an Origin jersey, he's been on form, but know, from the side of his family, which I kind of agree with, and you segued into it there, that if he continues this form towards the end of the year, he will be starting or on the bench next year, not just in the camp. And that's what his family wants too. They don't want him thrown in the deep end this early into his career. They want him to segue that position. So it's amazing to see Hopgood obviously on the reserve, but it's probably a good thing that he probably won't enter the field this weekend. Oh, sorry, next week.
It's going to be very hard, but to get into a winning Queensland side as well. So,
yes and no. Injuries happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The time of year, just have to see.
And look, let's be honest, Queensland pick their team on form, not on their mates like New South Wales. So if he continues up his form, you think he would break into the team.
How good's the access we're getting though? Like, you won't get this from anywhere else. We get access to aunties, uncles, whatever you want.
Adam gets free Marty's mum.
I think she's a big fan of the show, funny enough. Let's move on to New South Wales. First of all, we'll start with Junior Paulo being dropped. Look, it doesn't surprise me. I'm not saying Junior Paulo, and I've said it before, I'm not saying he's not an Origin player, but I don't think he plays his best football in Origin. I don't think he's been used properly this year, which is probably a bit unfair on Junior. I don't think bringing him off the bench like they did in game one was really effective for him. Obviously, he started game two, and we probably were in the game at the start of the game. But for us, Junior at Origin level, looking at Junior at NRL level, he likes to do that ball playing. He doesn't do enough of the tough carries in Origin. That's what rules him out. We play our best football at Parramatta when Junior tucks the ball and runs, and he only seems to do that against a big team sometimes, and sometimes it's frustrating. I have no doubt on Saturday night he'll do that because he'll be pissed off and he'll have a point to prove. So I'm not surprised to see him drop. So, look, bad for Junior. Obviously, he wants to play for New South Wales. Great for us. We didn't lose him this weekend when we lost everyone else. Obviously, we'll get to that now. No surprise Moses picked. Thought he was good in game two. I know the fans are going to hate that aren't Para fans. It's part of being a Para player. You're going to cop the Para haters everywhere you go. And obviously, RCG, no surprise coming in without Nathan Cleary there. He can't tell him his thoughts on Penrith and the Penrith boys. So I find it funny that the more Penrith players that have dropped out of the team, Reg gets a call in. That's no surprise whatsoever. So looks like those rumours were on the money. Probably a bit of risk because he's just come back from injuries. But the way New South Wales have been dominated in the forward pack, no surprise to bring Reg there. He'll bring a bit of, I was going to say a word I shouldn't have said then, but we'll say aggression. Bring a bit of aggression into our forward pack for New South Wales. Moving on to Gutho, though. Look, Gutho's been one of the form players in the comp in the last 5 weeks. I have problems with his selection, though. I don't think he should have been there. I'm pretty pissed off with Freddie and Brandy, the fact that they've picked him. They don't need him. And although it's great for Gutho and it's good to see him, well, it's not good to see him because it's two games too late to see him picking players on form. I said this on your show last night, Joel. They don't need him and Robson on the bench. Like, it's going to be frustrating as a Parramatta fan watching Gutho play probably 5 to 10 minutes unless they get an injury because he could have covered hooker as well. So if they were going to have Robson, they didn't need to have Gutho. So I'd be pissed off if I was a Cowboys fan as well at the current time. So I'll go to you first, Joel. Your thoughts on the Gutho and obviously any other New South Wales players being picked, Parramatta players being picked for New South Wales?
Yeah, let me just unmute myself while I've got a dog bloody barking its head off. Sorry, guys, but not owned by me. It's going to soon be on the road, out going for a walk. But look, I agree what you're saying, and I said it a bit last night. I don't get the whole bench for mine is a joke. It shouldn't be that setup there. Queensland would just be laughing, going, "We've destroyed them both games so far up the middle and in the forwards, and now they've lessened their forwards by having a hooker and a bench utility for the back line." It was. Gutho's been phenomenal, don't get me wrong, but the way you're going to get the best out of Gutho is having him on the field for 80 minutes. He's an 80-minute player who does effort on effort, and that's where he's best. If you're not going to put him in a position where he can play for 80 minutes, don't put him in at all. It's not going to help anyone out, and it could just become another Nicho Hynes scenario, which will be horrible to see if it happens to Gutho, but I don't think it'll affect him as much as it has affected Nicho either. I think Gutho knows where he's needed, and that's obviously Parramatta for the run home. And his form has been phenomenal. He's been arguably the form player of the comp the last month, so that's been good. I agree with Junior. Junior had to be dropped. He just hasn't been up to it all year, really. Like, I was surprised that he even got chosen to start with. Reg has always been the better prop forward for mine for the Eels. So, I hope this gives Junior fire in the belly for the rest of the year. But I'm going to stop there because this dog's about to go and get a boot to the head.
And if there's any animal lovers out there watching this or listening to this, please don't.
Why don't you just pay the Newcastle Knights on Airtasker to take out the dog? They do a good job at taking out dogs.
And that's Hayden's comedy piece for tonight.
let's just clarify, guys. No one's kicking any dogs and no one's taking out any dogs. Troy, your thoughts on the origin?
No dogs were harmed in the making of this video.
Not yet. No, not ever. Look, yeah, Mitchell was a given. He was always going to get a start. Reg, well, I think he was probably going to get picked in game one, I thought, if he wasn't injured, because he played in the World Cup for Australia, won a World Cup final for Australia last year. So I thought he should have been picked if he wasn't injured for game one, but he's got his spot back. Gutho, well, I think Freddie's come out and said that he wants him in the squad because he's got that winning attitude around him and he's really good for camp and stuff like that. Well, that's all very well and good, but pick him at number 20 or 19 or something if that's what you want for the camp. And as you guys said, I don't know where he's going to be playing. So he played in Origin in the centres in 2020. He can play there, but it's not his preferred position. And as Joel said, he's an 80-minute player. So, yeah, very unusual choice to pick Gutho. As for Junior, well, yeah, he probably, maybe he tries too hard in Origin and does a little bit more of that trying ball playing and stuff as well in Origin, where, as you said, Adam, he should probably just take the ball up under his arm and just run and do those tackles. So, yeah, look, I think the selections of Reg and Mitch are probably givens, but, yeah, strange about Gutho, and probably it's a good thing that Junior's playing for us this weekend.
Yeah, he'll play halfback, I think. A lot of halfback this weekend, Junior. Hayden, any different thoughts to that?
Well, he doesn't care because he's a Queenslander anyway, well,
yeah. Fairly similar thoughts anyway. I just wanted to say, obviously,
Reid Mahoney's just called me. He said you don't have the right to say anything. Sorry. All right, continue. Sorry, Hayden.
And I was just going to say that I think the inclusion of Junior Paulo can be massive this week against that big forward pack. And I think with Gutho obviously being out, he's got that, you know, full captaincy. He's got that big thing on his shoulders that you are the captain to lead this squad this week. So I think Junior Paulo's confidence, even though it'll be down during Origin, I think this game can be massive for him. So I think it's a big moment in Junior's career this Saturday night.
Yeah, for sure. He's got to. We'll get to that game obviously pretty soon as well. Just talking back about that game, obviously nothing to add about Origin. We'll go through our bowl predictions from the last game, which I forgot to go through. So obviously the full-time score was 48-20. Joel had 30-14. Matt had 42-12. Hayden had 26-14. Troy had 32-18. I had 46-4. I think Matt gets that one just. He's probably.
Well, he got the 40. Oh, it was 48, wasn't it?
He's 14. He's 14 points off, and he's 14 points off, and I was 18 points off. So Matt gets the points for that one. First try scorer. I said Mitch Moses. Troy said Will Penasini. Hayden said Sean Russell. Matt said Regan Campbell-Gillard, and Joel said Andrew Davey. No, I'm just joking. Joel said Dijon Arce. So Andrew Davies scored our first try. No one gets the chockies there. And bowl prediction. Well, I went pretty close here. I went very close. Parra to keep the Dolphins scores in the first half. I said we'd be ahead comfortably at half time. So I was right there. But
you're 4 points off, but
4 points off.
Sorry, mate, you're not right.
And they scored they scored the first try. You were way off in the third minute.
Shut up, Troy. Troy went back to score three tries, forwards to score two with Maddo one off the bench. Well, Maddo didn't score.
No.
I think we only got one forward score a try, didn't we?
So I was right about the try scorers except for Maddo.
Maybe, yeah.
You probably should have said one to score off the bench. Did anyone score off the bench?
No.
No.
We're going through who scored.
Hopgood scored. Davey scored, Russell scored, Sebo ruined 9.1 million Australians' multis.
Yeah, he did. Well, close try, but no cigar. Hayden went three tries scored by winger in the match across both teams.
McGrady.
No, only two. Sivo couldn't put the ball down, so unfortunately for you. Matt went Hopgood and Hands to combine for two tries. Well, that was one, so close. And Joel, this was pretty good, Joel. Both fullbacks combined for four tries. And
thank you. Gumbo
scored two and the Hammer scored two, so what? That's pretty good. Welcome
what
to
was
the
that
point.
Paying on the old Joel bet?
Oh, mate, it's fair to say I'm doing videos from next week in a mansion, so...
He didn't thank put you. It on. He didn't
you
put it got, on.
You would have gotten about $60, I reckon, for that one.
Did you put it on?
Build your own.
No, he didn't put it on.
You'll be definitely.
I've got a point yet.
You'll be definitely getting the spring rolls at Chinese tonight.
Yeah. Not the vegetarian ones either. The ones with the brown meat in them. All right, let's move on. Look, quickly, we'll touch on the Dylan Brown situation. Obviously, since we've last done a podcast, he pleaded guilty to. Two counts of, I believe it's called sexual touching. Obviously, the other three were thrown out, given an 18-month community service. So, obviously, all the things involved with that, we don't need to go into the finer details of that. You think Dylan would be doing a bit of community service? You think that would be football-related? And look, we've got to be very careful what we say all the time, obviously, but it's pretty smart to get it over and done with. If you wanted to fight these charges, it probably would have dragged on for another 12 months. So, we'll get away from that and move on to, obviously, the NRL deciding to suspend him for 7 games. Three of them he's already served. Look, I'm not happy with this as a Parramatta fan. And I know general NRL fans aren't happy as well. For me, it just sets a precedent they've got to keep up now. And they haven't done it before. That's what frustrates you. I know Dylan's got a bit of a record. Obviously, not that he hurt anyone, but doing the wrong thing up at Byron Bay that time. But George Burgess got charged with the same thing. It was pretty much kept out of the media because at the time, George Burgess was playing reserve grade. He wasn't suspended by the NRL, and now they've decided to come out and suspend someone for a total of 7 games, even though they've put their hand up. He's come out, he's admitted he did the wrong thing, admitted he's made a mistake. Parramatta are obviously going to support him through the kind of alcohol treatment and things like that. He's just a young kid that's done the wrong thing. There was none of that from Burgess. There was no admittance of I've done the wrong thing. There was nothing in the media. It wasn't, you know, they weren't following around with cameras and stuff like they had been with Dylan Brown. So... I get it. They've had to do something. Obviously, it's not something you want to see in the game. Obviously, with the women's game growing so much as well and how important everything is to the game, it's obviously with women involved. You don't want to turn anyone away from the game, but they need to keep this standard now. If this happens to anyone else, they need to obviously keep that stand up and, you know, obviously lay those suspensions down as well. He never should have been stood down, in my opinion. It didn't meet the maximum things that counts for the no-fault policy, so... The fact they have stood him down for one, and I've gone, I've disappeared off my screen. I know you guys can still see me, but the fact they've stood him down for one, and then, oh no, I'm really locked out this time. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
I actually locked my password that time, but the fact they've stood him down and then they've suspended him, I just feel like he's been double dipped, which I find unfair.
Can I?
Yep.
Here you go.
I got any different thoughts, but Hayden, go.
Oh, well, I was going to say something that I want to be careful to say it the right way, but do you think that the Dylan Brown situation, obviously, it was a lot worse, right, in the Jack DeBellin sense, but do you think this situation has had anything to do? If you guys don't know, Jack DeBellin was captaining the Dragons side while Ben Hunt's been away. Little bit of controversy regarding that and this whole Dylan Brown situation, and now he's kind of been stripped of his captaincy. When you're saying that in future... these decisions need to be consistent. Do you boys think that that has maybe led to what's happened with DeBellin being taken away from that captaincy now that, you know what I mean, what I'm trying to say?
It shouldn't be because DeBellin was cleared of doing any wrongdoing. And, you know, that was another NRL fuck-up, to be honest. Like, the bloke was, 18 months out of the game, a bit longer? Like, you know, but it was. He was 18 months out of the game. He was stood down as if he was treated like a criminal, like he'd done the wrong thing. And... I'm trying to be careful what I say here, but at the end of the day, he was cleared. So you could say, based on the evidence provided, we have a decision that the story was a load of shit. Let's be honest. So it happens. I know a lot of things will happen. Look, Dylan made a dumb choice. I have no doubt about that. He made a dumb choice getting on the piss and going out when he was told not to. Whether he did do the right thing or he did the wrong thing or whatever happened, he's been charged and they're saying he's got to live with the rest of his life. But, you know, the NRL preach about mental health and all this side of things and player welfare and stuff. the kid's just been through something pretty rough that's going to live with him the rest of his life. And now probably all he wants to do is get back and play footy. And they're making him sit more weeks out to, I don't know. I just don't get it. It's just, to me, there's no consistency. There's no consistency in anything the game's doing at the moment. And that comes back to Abdo, who I'm not a big fan of. Anyone else? Joel?
You mentioned a good thing there. And look, I don't condone anything that Dylan Brown's done at all. I personally agree with the suspension. I think he was probably lucky it wasn't longer and the funds wasn't higher, I thought, in my honest opinion. I was expecting to hear probably rubbed out for the rest of the year, if I'm being honest. But I think there's a, as you mentioned, with the whole player looking after players, I think if you're suspended, you should still be able to play like reserve grade or something, because we can see so much these days how much it does impact players. And we've seen some go down a very dark path very quickly. We're talking about obviously Angus Crichton at the start of the year, things like that. But it's the whole principle that if the NRL is being serious, and we're seeing the RLPA stuff and everything, give these players something else that they can do. Because even we heard when they stand these players down, they're not even allowed to go into the club's headquarters or nothing like that.
Yeah, not allowed to train.
For mine, you should be encouraging the players to have that, because at the time, that's probably who they need most is their mates, and they probably feel awkward talking to family. They feel a bit better talking to like the club and maybe a mediator, and at least getting out each week and having that game, whether it's for Parry and New South Wales Cup, and at least getting out there for 80 minutes and just forgetting everything. I think that's a really important thing to look for moving forward for the NRL, to let these clubs actually do these with players who are still down for whatever reason, to let them go out and play some footy.
I don't know what's a bigger punishment, 7 weeks off or being forced to play for Parramatta New South Wales Cup at the moment for 7 weeks. But Troy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think I'm glad it's probably all over now. As you said, Adam, he's probably going to live for this for the rest of his life, unfortunately. He's done the wrong thing. I just found it a little bit confusing, excuse me, at the start, when the lawyer came out that first time and said that they have no evidence of anything, and then someone's obviously found something, and obviously he's been charged with two counts. So just glad that it's all over now, and Dylan's will learn from this mistake, and hopefully he gets the help that he needs. And he's a young man, obviously, and nothing like this will happen again in his career, or hopefully for any other player at the club or any other club as well.
As in a way, as well, as a Parra fan, it's probably the best thing in the weirdest way possible to happen to Dylan Brown at this time, because we all know now that all the rumours have come out in the papers and that he's been warned about this sort of stuff a fair few times now. So hopefully this is now the kick in the guts he's definitely needed, and we see the best version of Dylan Brown, because I think we all knew at the start of this year he came out pretty slowly out of the gates and his form wasn't great. So let's see that Dylan Brown we've seen last year once again, and I think we will.
Yeah, that's it. I believe that as a final say on that situation. But as you said, he's had that rest now and he'll be back for a finals charge and obviously push hopefully deep into September football. And I think it's September for the grand final this year, actually, or maybe 1st of October. So anyway, all right, let's move on, get away from that. Is it? Second
October. I'm pretty sure it's second.
You know how every couple of years every few years you kind of get one that falls on that September 30th date and just like completely throws you off. All right, let's move on to this week's game. As said, obviously with those players out, it's going to be a tough game there. I'm praying to sweet baby Jesus that Sean Johnson's wife goes into labour.
Baby Jesus or baby cheeses?
No, baby Jesus.
Those
who don't get my Talladega Nights reference, please go watch it. But sweet baby Jesus is who we're talking to. That hopefully you can make that other baby come out and Sean Johnson misses the game, because, look, it's going to be tough for Parramatta. Obviously playing one of the form teams in the comp at the moment, the Warriors. And, of course, my team list is not loading, so please hold, guys.
Do you want me to do it?
Yes, please. Using my old phone because my other phone's on charge.
That's right. Give me 2 seconds and I'll get it up for you.
I've got it up if you need. I've got it up for you.
This could almost be a segment for Pilot Health.
All right, so Clinton Gutherson is missing this.
I knew someone was going to go there as soon as Hayden said it. I didn't expect it to be you, Troy. I didn't expect it to be you.
You ready?
What?
Oh, yeah, we're ready.
What?
All right. Well, with Clinton Gutherson out on Origin duty, Sean Russell will be at fullback for this game. Mike Acevo on the wings, obviously avoiding the... There was the charge he got. He did get fined, didn't he? But not suspended.
Micah.
His last warning.
His third fine for the year, I think, for the same offence.
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times. Everyone thought he was going to miss the game, but we've got him up against Allen. Will Pennicini and Simonson in the centres with Isaac Lumi coming in to the wing. Look at Adam's face. He is happy with that one. It is definitely going to be Adam's rant tonight, not Joel. Ryan Madison, the big number six.
I've got one.
The big number six, the undefeated at number six against the Manly Seagulls, returns to number six, Ryan Madison. Dejan Arce comes back into the side in jersey number seven.
He wasn't out of the side.
You're on fire, Hayden. You've got this gig every week.
Offahegi Ogden in jersey number eight against the big fella, Adam Fanua Blake. Brendan Hands in jersey number nine. I mentioned it earlier. Captaining the side is Junior Paulo. Jersey number 11 is Bryce Cartwright. Jersey 12 is Joel's favourite player, Andrew Davey. Jersey number 13 is probably my favourite player, Jermaine Hopgood. Number 14 is Luca Moretti. He was in the side. I was about to say coming back in, but he's been in the side for a few weeks now. Number 15 is Joe Offahengawi. Big return for the Parramatta Eels in number 16, Sean Lane. Look, me and Matty have been saying when you're back, and he says next week for the last 6 weeks, but we can actually say he's not. He's been lying to you. He's been lying, so he is back. It's good to see him back. And Makahesi Makatoa, Adam's second favourite player, coming in jersey number 17.
Well, I'll just quickly go through that and say that Luca Moretti, he didn't actually play the last game, so he actually was coming back in the team. Good try, Hayden. Good effort. Great effort. Look, obviously going through that team, which I still need to get up in front of me anyway, because I still need to look at it. Look, I'm not going to shy away from it. Every time someone posts in one of the groups, where's Isaac Lumi? Why isn't Lumi in the team? Look, we've already got Sammy Radradra from Wish on one side, on one wing. Now we've got Mike Acevo from Wish on the other side. The bloke is one of the worst defensive wingers in the game. He's played one game against Melbourne. He let in two tries. He played one trial against Newcastle. That's the Newcastle sitting 14th and was terrible.
He scored a try round one. What are you talking about?
He let two in.
Just because someone scores a try, Troy, doesn't mean they're a good player. That's what.
Yeah. I don't know if you realise this, Troy, but the team who scores the most points wins the game.
Oh, right? Is it?
Okay. And on that night in round one, we got beat 16-12 because we conceded more points. Now, in regular time, we conceded 12 points, and he was responsible for both of those.
I'm just going to mention, because Maddie's obviously brought this up, and it's probably an important thing to say. For the first time in almost all year, in jersey number 19 is Wonga Blake. So
he will come back into the side.
It could be a late inclusion, fellas.
Well, I find it interesting that 18 and 19 is Hayes Dunster and Wonga, because to me, that's BA, hopefully. I'm praying. Once again, praying to sweet baby Jesus. Two miracles I need this week. But to please...
The other way.
I'm hoping he sees who trains better between the three of them, between Hayes, Wonga, and obviously Isaac Lumi, Mike Acevo from Wish. But whoever trains the best, I think, will get that jersey spot, hopefully. Hopefully it's a bit of mind games, thinking they saw him play round one, they might base their attack over attacking that wing because of how terrible he was. And hopefully we saw... I never thought I'd say this, but hopefully we see Wonga come in the team. I thought his days at Parramatta were over, but he could be thirsty, he could be hungry, especially after playing in that New South Wales Cup team for a few weeks. Might want to get that taste of first grade back. And look, if Wonga does come into the team, this will be his chance to play for a contract elsewhere. We know Parramatta aren't going to re-sign him next year. And unless he's going to Super League, I don't think anyone else in ARL is really going to be interested at the current time. So
Dolphins.
Yeah, probably, yeah. But like, we saw some of Wonga's best stuff last year on the wing. Defensively, obviously, he's not a great centre. Obviously, the thing that led him down to being a top-class winger was his ability under a high ball. Look, Sean Johnson's obviously hopefully not playing, but if he is playing, he isn't really known for his torpedo bombs. It's more his place kicking and his short kicking game. So with a bit of luck, obviously, we have no drama there for longer. I'll start with you first, Joel, looking through that team, obviously. Where do you think we win the game this weekend? If we do.
Oh, obviously, the four.
On the field.
It's got to be the forward pack. in the 80 minutes would be nice, but yeah, look, it's a game where, and I guess this is where my rant comes into it a little bit, is that the weekly rant comes out. I don't get why, and I know this is the week where it's harder for Parra because we've got a few in Origin, but the hard thing at the moment is we haven't had a bye throughout this Origin period. So in the lead up to Origin, we're one of the only teams, I think, they actually haven't got one bye. And now if that's three times throughout the season, which obviously three Origin games, and there's about, what is it, eight teams or something get the bye each time, or six or whatever it is. But how is it fair to not distribute at least one bye to each team throughout one of those 3 weeks? It's mind-boggling because you've got like a team like the Warriors, for instance, they're full strength. It's going to be really, really hard to beat a team at full strength when you've got multiple key players out of your team. Yeah, that's the first part on that. But yeah, look, it's got to be the four pack. We're just going to dominate and just go up the middle. No funny business. Have Maddo as another lock and just ball play it up. So that's all I got to say, really.
Yeah, Troy.
Well, it's a crucial game for both teams, isn't it? Because I think both teams are on 22 points and they want to hang in the eight. So, look, I think I was just going to say, you were saying about mind games before. Are the Warriors playing a bit of mind games with Sean Johnson being named? There was a post today by either a Warriors fan online or the club themselves about the three milestone players for the Warriors, but Sean Johnson wasn't included. So you'd probably like to think maybe by that he's not playing. Look, I think it's going to be a good battle between Junior and Adam Fanua Blake in the middle there. They'll be wanting to get at each other. Look, I think maybe it's a bit half and half with our backs and their backs. So they're a little bit inexperienced and they may just have it over us in the backs when you look at players, but could be close. But I think we've got them in the forwards, so as long as we can get off to that good start and just keep on rolling on like we have been in games, then we should be right, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. Hayden?
I think for me, and I think it's mostly the forwards, but I think we need to shut down their X factor. I think although the Warriors have, you know, some big name players, I think they have players that they can turn up for some games, but they're very inconsistent. Like, I'll name some, like, you know, Charles Nicol-Klokstad, players like that. They could come out and play like Andrew Johns, how we mentioned it. But for me, there's two players that, especially currently, stand out as X factor. So if we can stop, you know, Dallin Watene-Zalesniak is scoring tries for fun. He's been in some crazy form. And then Troy mentioned it, which is my big one, Junior Paulo, being able to contain Adam Fanua Blake. If we're able to stop those players that we know are going to play that consistent footy, it can go a long way to winning this game while being under strength. But like I said, anyone can have their moments, but it's those two names that are just going to provide that X factor, if which we assume that Sean Johnson's not there, they'll be missing.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to base it off Johnson obviously not being there. Look, leading up to this game, obviously knowing the players we're going to have out, I was really worried. Worried they were going to absolutely take us to town. But when you look at it on paper, it's not actually that scary. I know they're playing some good footy at the moment, but if you take Johnson out of that team, as I said, we're assuming they are, I'm not that worried because obviously, well, I am a little bit with Dallin Watene-Zalesniak essentially marking up against Isaac Lumi-Lumi, but praying that Wonga comes in to take that spot because...
Should we have a drinking game? Every time you mention Lumi-Lumi for the rest of the podcast, we all have a shot.
We'd be blind, Matt. We wouldn't finish the show. But looking through their forward pack, I said the one change I would have made is I'm not very keen on starting Ogden and Paulo. They're obviously both big bodies, and we're obviously trying to counteract Fanua Blake and Afoa, but I'd like a bit more, like probably go for Joe Fungawi or someone starting a little bit more like-for-like with Reg. Yeah, looking through their bench and stuff, we're pretty strong there. But I think where we win the games is our centres. Looking at our centres and their centres, Will Penasini and Bailey Simonson, Rocco Berry and Adam Pompey, I'm not really worried there. I think we can get some easy metres back through there. So we need our centres to obviously work and get them some early ball. Look, we're going to play a pretty simple game plan, no doubt, with Madison at 5'8". Obviously, we saw Madison at 5'8" against the Warriors, and he wasn't afraid to take those tough carries. So,
did we?
If we can get on the back of him taking those against runs Manly. Against the Warriors.
Sorry.
He's going to do the same thing against the Warriors, then, is what I'm saying. Obviously, getting the back of him making those tough runs, Hopgood, Junior Paulo needs to find that balance of tough runs, but he also needs to get in there and help Madison and us here. And we're forgetting against Manly, we need to. we didn't have Junior there to do that ball play, so
can I just say, can I add one more thing? And I think you boys will agree with this. And for people in the comments that are Parramatta fans, I think it's a huge point that hasn't been made. We've all spoken, and obviously with Hodgson out now, we know that Hands is playing that 80-minute game. But I think this game, and we haven't even mentioned it, is so important to Brandon Hand, because not only do we not have Gutherson and Moses, you know, it takes out that spine. Yeah. So I feel like there's going to be more expectation on Hands, and he's going to need to probably overplay his hand in this game, because he's going to be that, you know, leader of the spine, considering you've got Sean Russell at the back, Madison in the six. So this is a massive game for Brandon Hands. And if he does play it right, he could easily be man of the match.
Is that a bold prediction, yeah, a 40-20 from him or something, from dummy half? Or?
I don't know. I haven't got a bold prediction yet, but I'm thinking.
But let's.
I reckon if Brandon Hands can overplay his hands a bit, it'll be quite handy for our side moving forward, especially on the weekend, if he has a hand in all of our tries on the weekend. So,
yep.
How long you had that in the back of your head for trying to get?
Well, let's hope he doesn't show his full hand in this game. He saves it for the end of the year.
I'll finish off and say I'm actually excited to see Sean Russell at fullback get a run there. Obviously, you know, he's a lot quicker than Gutho. Going to get him a lot more ball. Look, he's obviously going to play a completely different style. So it'll be interesting how he play. But I am excited to see that one. Hopefully, we can see him in some clear space. Quick, before we move on to our bowl predictions, I want to touch on one more thing we're going to do this week, which I've just got to throw is under the bus. Obviously, 8 games remaining. I'll run through those 8 games quickly for you. And realistically, we'll get a prediction off you how many games you think we can win. We know we need to win 4 or 5 games, obviously, to make the 8 based off that cutoff there, obviously, with a strong 4 and against maybe 4. We've got the Warriors at home this week, which we're not favourites for. Currently $2.31 to the Warriors $1.62. Week after, we've got the Gold Coast on the Sunday 6:15 game. They play the Cowboys up in North Queensland, Townsville. Melbourne at Marvel, Melbourne. St George at home. Brisbane away at the Gabba. The Roosters at home, then Penrith at Penrith. So I'll go to you first, Troy, because you're always the optimistic one. How many of those 8 games are you realistically seeing us winning, and where do you see us finishing this year?
Look, I reckon we can win 5 out of that 8. We're going to find it tough against, obviously, Penrith. At Penrith, that's always a hard battle, although we have had the wood over them the last couple of years at Penrith. But you'd expect
except
then
for the finals when it mattered.
Yeah, well, in competition games, yeah. So that's one. Obviously, the way that Brisbane are playing at the moment, that's going to be a different one. They got us earlier on in the year in Darwin on a round field, and this one's being played on a round field as well. So, obviously, the way they're playing as well, and it's either a toss-up between Cowboys and Melbourne down in Melbourne. So one of those two games we'll lose. So five out of the 8, I reckon. And in terms of finishing position, I'd say probably 5th.
Yep. Joel?
I reckon we win 4 from the 8, and we also had the bye as well, so that's an extra 10 points from whatever we're on now, which is, I think, 22. So that's 32.
32, yeah.
Which I think should be the cutoff. So,
especially with the form,
unfortunately, unfortunately, this goes back to the conversations we used to have when we got fired up early on in the season and we lost some of those crucial games and don't get Troy fired up again. But this is honestly, Bart, this is going back to why we should have, why it was so costly for us to lose the games we did, because we'd be in a lot better position heading into the run home than we are now.
Yep. Hayden?
I'm looking at the draw now, hey. I'm thinking, I hate revealing win-lose kind of games, but I think it's going to be tough at Townsville. I think the Cowboys are really hitting form. You think about our prelim loss to Penrith and how fired up we were to get the chockey against them at their home ground. So I'll circle that Cowboys game as a loss. I think I agree with Troy. I think the Penrith game could be a loss as well.
I think Melbourne's a loss.
I hope not, because I'm going down. Maybe I'm being biased because I'm going to that game. But
I also think this weekend's a loss.
We probably, in my opinion, we probably can win about five or six of those eight games.
Six? I like the six.
And I think we finish in sixth position on the ladder.
If we win six, we'll get higher than that. We'll get top four if we win six.
Well, yeah.
Because we've got to play Penrith. We've got to play Brisbane. We've got to play Melbourne.
See, Brisbane, we played fairly well against in Darwin. Obviously, didn't get the result, but played fairly well against them. And then the Storm played really well against them, lost in Golden Point. We've been their number for years. So there's a few games there that I'm like, no, we can compete against those top side. Massive danger game in the second last week against the Roosters. Obviously, the Roosters aren't going to be anywhere near finals, but they're still going to want to show their best for Trent Robinson. So, and they've already beaten us this year. So that's a game that I'm like, shit, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe more. All right. Well, once again, I'm basing this off Sean Johnson being out this weekend. So spoiler alert, I think we can get the win if Sean Johnson's not playing. Look, I'll run through my games individually. I see us beating the Warriors without Sean Johnson, beating the Gold Coast. Same thing. I'm actually going up this game in North Queensland, but I'm struggling to see us beat North Queensland because looking at their draw, they've really got to win their home games and they want revenge off last year. I'd like to think the Melbourne game in Melbourne. I'm actually on a plane to Ireland on that day, so I actually won't even get to watch the game. But
representing the country,
Yeah, exactly right. Maybe. Touch wood. going well with this thing. So, but look, I think we'll beat Melbourne in Melbourne, just based off the fact we've had the wood over them. And they're actually not playing good footy at the moment, Melbourne. I know they always kind of peak that time of year. They always kind of seem to peak around us. But the footy we're playing at the current time is actually quite entertaining. And for once, I'm actually excited watching a Parramatta team across the field, the way that Penasini and Simonson are both combined. We look dangerous all across the park. So saying we get through unscathed, I think we beat Melbourne in Melbourne. St George will put 50 on, no doubt about that. Brisbane up there, once again, going back to that Darwin game, I didn't think we were that bad. It was a few bounce of the balls, obviously the conditions as well. Once again, we're not going to go back to that because that will really fire me up, the dumb choice to take games to Darwin against teams like Brisbane. Roosters we beat. And it comes down to Penrith at Penrith. The big one for this game is having the bye the week after and Penrith potentially being in first place and may have the minor premiership wrapped up. We're going to want this game a lot more. We're going to majorly want it, and we're going to have that week's rest as well. We know we don't have to give it too much the week after. So I'm not saying we're definitely going to win, but I could see us going out to Penrith and winning again. So I was going to say 7 of 8, but I'm going to say 6 of 8. I reckon we drop North Queensland. If we beat Brisbane and Melbourne away, I think we lose to Penrith. So if we lose one of those games, I think we can beat Penrith and Penrith because I think I know we'll have to. So giving us 6 of 8 should put us in the top four. Obviously with the bye there and the good for and against, because there's a couple of teams above us. Brisbane, I see falling. Cronulla, I got a bit of an easy run, but I think they're overrated.
Brisbane has still got two byes to go, but
I know, but they're not playing good football. You look at their games. They're, you know, like last week they just beat the Dolphins. Everyone else is punished.
Cobbo got him out of jail last week.
Correct. The week before they got beaten by the Gold Coast, and the week before that they had the bye. And then the week before that, they just beat Newcastle by 4 points. And then,
I'm not worried about the Broncos game. I think we'll beat the Broncos. I'm more worried about the Roosters game because they've just been able to. We just don't play our footy against the Roosters for some reason.
That Roosters game scares me, especially.
We beat them pretty comfortably last year, remember? You've got to think when you get to the back end of the year.
You've got to think as well, Adam. As bad as they're going now, they're going to have a lot of inclusions in the back half of the year. You know, we haven't seen the best, in my opinion, yet of, you know, Brandon Smith, those type of players that have gone there for this reason. Now, their massive price of $8 for top eight, they're probably not going to make it. But if they do get themselves in a position, remember, at the start of the season, no one thought we were going to be in the eight. Here we are. If they get themselves in that situation, that's a game that scares the shit out of me.
That's my thoughts with the Storm game as well. I know they're not playing great footy at the moment, but we verse them in basically a month's time, and we know what Bellamy does with the Storm, and he'll get them around, and I got no doubt he'll have them up against us. So my worry with us is, are we peaking too early? We're starting to play some really good footy, but are we doing it too early? That's my big worry. It's hard to stay up for so long in this competition.
Yeah, it is. And we've been kind of enforced that way we started the year. But just looking at that Roosters game and think the logistics of it, it's our last home game of the year. Like, obviously, if we win the games I've got us winning, we'll get some kind of finals game at home. But our last home game on a Friday night against the Roosters, you think there'd be 25,000 people there at least in that last home game. You watch people buy those two-game memberships they offer at the end of the year. Obviously, the fact they want finals tickets. So I'm not that worried about that one. I think, obviously, looking away from this week with the exclusions, if we win all four of our home games, obviously the away games are a bonus, and just depends how hungry the team is and if they want it. So that's all we're going to do on that one anyway. But
Joel mentioned that Storm game. Just you mentioned how Bellamy will be, you know, fired up for it. I'm just looking at the draw. That's a very important game for the Storm, and it's very scary for Parramatta fans that if, you know, going into that game the week after, Melbourne will travel to Penrith to play Penrith. So they'll know that if they lose back-to-back games, it'll, you know, worsen their position on the ladder. So, look, I think we can get the job done, but it's
Look who they've got the week before. They play Newcastle at Newcastle the week before. And don't let the weekend's result from last weekend really, like, make Newcastle seem like a better team. They're still shit.
Look, not bad answers for a quick question out of the blue, Adam. So
yeah, we've done well there, because we've obviously all given it a bit of thought to being fans and looking at what's coming up. So let's move on to this week's game. We'll get through our bold predictions. Who wants to go first? I'll just go first. Look, being a loyal Parramatta fan and relying on Sweet Baby Jesus looking after Sean Johnson's missus and delivering their beautiful baby, obviously, before the game or on the day of the game, I'm going to say Parramatta to win. I'm not going to say it's going to be pretty, but I said that against Manly. I'm going to say 22-14 for a Parramatta win. Look, I said I'm excited by Sean Russell, obviously at fullback. We're going to go Sean Russell, first try scorer. And my bold prediction is it's hard when all the blokes you usually pick about the team, eh? My bold prediction is for Brendan Hands to score a try and to kick a 40-20. There you go. Hands to score a try and kick a 40-20.
Dolan Hayden's one there, I think.
I had to, yeah. I needed something. All right, who wants to go next? Hayden, you want to go next?
Yeah, I think we can win this game. Even if Sean Johnson does play, I think it will be tough. I'm in the mindset.
I've already ruled him out.
Yeah, I think they've ruled him out officially.
No, I've ruled him out.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, before I put in my tips, obviously yesterday, I thought he was playing, didn't know this whole situation, knew he was in a bit of doubt. So, look, I'll stick with my original score. I think it will be close. We are undermanned, but look, if I'll go 18 points to 16, 2-point win for Parramatta, a bit of a shootout. I'll go Bailey Simonson, first try scorer. Go Bailey to score first. And I think it'd be a massive game from Arcee stepping in at halfback as well as Hands. So I'll go Dejan Arcee and Brendan Hands to combine for 3+ try assists.
All right. Just before we move on to you, Troy, I'll just touch on that one for my idiot brother saying Lumi Lumi double and Josh saying Lumi man of the match. If Lumi Lumi gets a double or gets the man of the match, I'll do next week's podcast in my Parramatta budgie. All right? So confirm that won't happen. I'll add a stipulation to that. Not if he gets a double. I want an over-under that you can take away the tries he lets in as well. So if he scores 2 but lets in 2, that's not happening. Troy?
So if he scores 4 and lets in 2, that's all right? Or?
Come on, yeah.
okay, yeah, I think it's going to be a 1-12 game. I think talking to someone in New Zealand today, I think Johnson will definitely be out, so don't have to worry about him. So it'll be a 1-12 game anyway. I think 24-18 will be the score. And I'm going to go for my old mate Will Penasini, first try scorer. Got to go back to Will. And an anytime try scorer, I think Mike Osivo in his 100th 100th NRL game. So congratulations to Micah.
Hang on. It's not any time try scorer. It's first try scorer.
Yeah, I said Will Pedicini, first try scorer. Oh,
was your bold prediction for Sivo to be any time?
Hang on.
No. I just said that he will score a try.
Okay, well, that doesn't count for anything. But
no, I'm just mentioning it because it's his 100th NRL game too. So,
yeah, okay.
Just
so what's your bold prediction?
Bold prediction is Sean Russell kick 4 from 4.
Sean Russell kicking?
I don't know. That's how bold it is. I'll just put it out there. That,
what was your score again?
24-18. So okay, four tries.
Yeah, 4 goals. Yeah.
4 tries, 4 goals.
Oh, well, I don't know. The rumour is either Arcee, Russell, or Hands will kick. So, you're a chance.
I'm going in early, bold prediction.
Usually you go out early, Troy, so going in early is different for you. Joel, your thoughts?
Para 20 points to 10. Ugly dogfight affair. I'll have Junior as first try scorer off of Brendan Hands' setup. So he'll just barge over. I think that will be playing very straight. My bold prediction, I'll have Lumi Lumi for a double, thanks.
All right, guys, I hope you've enjoyed Joel's company. This will be his last podcast for this. He didn't even have a rant this week, Joel.
If Lumi Lumi doesn't play, then you're screwed even before the game.
What was that?
If Lumi Lumi doesn't play and Wonga Blake plays, you're screwed.
If that winger will score a double, you can't do whatever it is. So
you can't sit on the fence. It's one or the other. You've gone Lumi Lumi. You're locking it in.
Lumi Lumi is $12 for first try scorer.
Lock him in.
Winger. It should be $9.
Sivo's only $9. Sivo's only $9.
Exactly right. If he was any good, and Sivo's not exactly good. If he was any good, he'd be $9. All right, that's all we've got time for. Troy will take us out. Obviously, looks like there's going to be a massive crowd there on Saturday night. I mean, nice, cold, fresh 5:30 game against the Sean Johnson-less Warriors. Get there, support the team, and let's get on this run home.
Okay, thank you, viewers. Thank you, listeners, for listening to the Talking Para podcast. You'll find it on Apple and Spotify and YouTube as well. Subscribe to the League of Inches. Subscribe to the Entertain House. Subscribe to the Para Cave podcast as well. Adam, what do you want the fans to subscribe to for your...
OnlyFans.
Yeah, just my OnlyFans.
Okay, no worries. And thank you very much for tuning in. And go Para, and see you guys next week.